In topic 1.12, you're asked to describe the factors that increase the risk of cardiovascular disease. So, genetic, diet, age, gender, high blood pressure, smoking, and inactivity are the big ones. We've already looked at the idea of having an atherosclerosis. We'll look at a number of things that could increase the prospect of that. In terms of diet, you mustn't get into the habit of just saying eat more healthily. You need to actually state that you're looking at reducing the amount of saturated fat in the diet and reducing the amount of salt. If you have a diet that's high in saturated fat, that increases the blood cholesterol levels, which can cause or enhance the formation of an atheroma. If you've got high salt, then that's going to increase the blood pressure due to retention of fluid in the blood. High blood pressure, as well as being an effect of atherosclerosis, can trigger blood vessel damage itself. Smoking, you're going to find that hemoglobin normally carries oxygen in the blood. However, if you smoke, then you're taking in a fair bit of carbon monoxide. That forms much stronger bonds with hemoglobin than oxygen does and reduces the amount of oxygen that can be carried. So if you've already got reduced blood flow to an area, smoking is going to be really bad. Okay. Lack of oxygen can lead to heart attacks or strokes. Nicotine also increases platelet stickiness, okay, which enhances the production of thrombin. Smoking also decreases the number of antioxidant molecules in the blood, which can increase the chance of cell tissue damage. Exercise is another one. If you do exercise, then that strengthens the heart. Okay, you're working the heart, it's a muscle just like all your others, it's a special type of muscle, and it enables it to work more efficiently. If you are exercising a lot, then your muscles become more efficient at respiration. That slows the heart rate, which lowers the blood pressure. If you're exercising, it's probably going to lower your blood cholesterol, which means you can balance your high density lipoproteins and low density lipoproteins. We're going to look at those in a subsequent section. Genetics, you don't know a lot about genetics yet. You don't even know really an awful lot about these proteins that we've looked at. However, one gene codes for one polypeptide. Now, a polypeptide translates roughly to a protein, although some proteins have more than one polypeptide chain in them. And if you've got one gene or one allele that's going to make an awful lot more thromboplastin and thrombin than someone else's, then you might be more prone to blood clotting than someone else. Okay, there are various clotting factors as well that can be inherited, and clotting factor deficiencies as well. In relation to age and gender, the risk of cardiovascular disease increases with age for both genders. Okay, as the tissue becomes older, there's a greater likelihood of it being damaged, and as we've seen, you start off with a clinically silent atheroma, but eventually it will start to cause problems. Premenopausal women have a greater risk of cardiovascular disease than men of the same age. That is in all likelihood down to the contraceptive pill. Remember that hormone treatments are likely to increase the possibility of blood clotting. However, after the menopause, men are usually up to twice as likely to suffer from some forms of cardiovascular disease than women. Okay. There are certain suggestions for this, including where body fat is distributed, but you don't need to know much detail about that. Hypertension, high blood pressure, this has links with a diet high in saturated fat and salt, excess alcohol consumption, stress, and a lack of exercise. Okay, so you may want to relate that back to atheroma and aneurysm formation. There's an awful lot of different things that can cause or trigger cardiovascular disease. All of them seem to be symptoms of being a teacher, which is distressing.